Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Support for this podcast comes from Wise, the account that helps you manage your money all around the world. Dining in dollars, doing business in baht. Wherever life takes you, the Wise account helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast. It's the easy way to connect all your finances internationally without any hidden fees or exchange rate markups. Min fees, max ease, full speed. Join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account could work for you by downloading the app or visiting wise.com/podcast.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast lifting the language barrier to show you the world through its media.
Радіо Тегерану.
Ми не вторгались на територію України.
Western countries are not the international community. That era has finished.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
This is a documentary from the BBC World Service, and in this week's Heart and Soul, an encore for Jesus. I'm Linda Presley, reporting from Tijuana, Mexico, on the Catholic nuns who minister to men and women incarcerated in La Mesa prison.
So somebody's given one of the sisters a big shopping trolley, and they're loading it up. Sweets and toiletries, shampoo, soap. Huge, huge plastic bag full of toilet rolls there.
They don't say, here come the sisters, they say, here comes the toilet paper.
So Sister Viola is carrying three enormous boxes of donuts.
These are our treats that we take every once in a while to the prisoners. They love the American donuts.
She brought them this morning from just across the border in San Diego in the United States, where she lives. Sister Viola crosses to Tijuana every day. She's the leader of this Catholic order founded in the 1990s by a Hollywood socialite, Mother Antonia. It's called the Eudist Servants of the 11th Hour. Eudist, after St. John Eudes, a 17th century French missionary. And because these women join later in life, in their 50s and 60s, when other Catholic orders won't take them, that's their 11th hour.
11th hour is sometimes 11 and a half. We've already had our lives, we've already had our children, we've had our husbands. We've lost a lot in our life, my parents. I lost two brothers and two sisters. You do all of that and you're in your 11th hour and there's still something for you.
For these nuns, that something is prison ministry. Six of them live in Tijuana, and every day some of the women are here visiting inmates in La Mesa.
Buenos días.
As you might expect in a prison housing around 3,000 people, there's serious security.
One of the prison officers just walking by, a pistol in one hand and an automatic weapon just strapped across her front. Okay, so we're following the donuts.
And they're going first to the chapel, where there's a service for some of the incarcerated women.
All of the women dressed in grey, grey jogging pants, grey T-shirts, grey jackets. It's kind of a uniform everyone's wearing.
Yes, yes. It's the only colour that's allowed for the prisoners.
Buenos días, se la bendiga. Buenos días.
Sister Anne Gertrude greets the women as they enter the chapel. She's originally from Cameroon and arrived in Tijuana via a nursing career in New York. Sister Anne Gertrude leads the service with Sister Nelida, a Peruvian who's 76 and joined the Eudist Servants after an accounting career in Los Angeles. Worship over, treats and essentials are handed out to the women.
Everybody's had a donut, everybody's got a bottle of orange juice, and everybody's got a large bag of toiletries.
Alba, one of the prisoners, was looking forward to coming to the chapel this morning.
came at the moment that I needed the most.
Her dad's been sick, but yesterday she found out he's been given the all clear.
And now they did a biopsy for his lungs, and now he's okay.
In a regime that allows prisoners out of their cramped cells and into the yard for only 2 hours twice a week, a service in the chapel is an event. For Alba, who's waiting for a court date on drugs charges, the sisters' visits are a lifeline.
We have the one-on-one with them, and they gave us good advices, and they gave us reading information. That helped us through the whole 2 weeks until we see them again.
We're interested in them. We've come from the BBC from London. We're interested in them because all of these women have had other lives. They became nuns very late.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I love it. I love it because they're such a good sample for us. I'm 52 years old, and I'm single. I'm separated. I only have one son who's 32. And if I want to, do something different with my life.
Would you think about that?
I would.
Joining the convent?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It gives me a hope.
This will be music to the sisters' ears. Because with an average age of 70 plus, and now down to just a dozen members, the Eudist servants of the 11th hour need new joiners. Certainly, the nuns inspire admiration. Maribel says she's impressed by the sisters' dedication. Maribel's 13 years into a 20-year sentence for kidnap. Her case is a reminder of the context in which these nuns work. Tijuana's located right on the Mexico-US border and dominated by the immense rust-red American fence that snakes across the hilly terrain. This is one of Mexico's most murderous cities, in part controlled by violent organized crime groups that smuggle drugs and migrants across the border. Maribel was asked to look after a woman who was going to cross into the US illegally. What she was unaware of, she claims, was that the woman was being trafficked. Had she known, she says, she'd never have got involved. That was then. This is now. And here in the chapel, Maribel is glowing after the singing and prayers, cognizant too of the sacrifices made by the sisters. They're people who have left everything to serve God, including their children, she says. This rings a bell for Sister Viola.
It was probably the most difficult thing that I had to do, was leave my children. But they are grown up, they have their families, they have their jobs, and I thought, this was something that I was called to do.
Are there days sometimes when you wake up and you regret it? You think, oh no, the prison in Tijuana again.
Never. I've been here going on 15 years.
Can I ask you, what's your age, Sister Viola?
I'm going to be 84 in August.
Wow. And you're still crossing that border every day?
Yes.
So what time are you up this morning?
I'm up at least by 4:30.
And going to bed?
I go to bed about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
And do you sleep well?
Like a rock.
Rock of Jesus?
Yeah, a rock of Jesus, yes, absolutely.
Sister Viola is planning to retire and return permanently to the U.S. when she's 86. Until then, there's work to do.
We're going to the cell block.
These are concrete stairs, painted grey, the same grey that the women are obliged to wear. So we're on the second floor.
Any prisoner we pass on the way is obliged to stop, stock still, and face the wall while we pass. Then we're in a long corridor, tiny high windows on one side, cells on the other.
So these cells have got six people in each of them. Everybody's got all of their belongings just stacked up at the end of their bed.
The bunk beds are three high, and there's a bathroom area at the back behind a brick wall. There's no privacy in this challenging living environment. The sisters, Nelida and Gertrude and Viola, fan out down the corridor, stopping to talk to different women behind bars who are doing craft work, reading, or doing each other's hair.
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, gracias a Dios.
Ven acá.
Déjeme le muestro el peinado que me hicieron porque...
This woman is just showing the sister, Sister Viola, her hair. She's had it done in cornrows.
Me gusta mucho.
Uh-huh.
¿Qué tienes, date o qué? Si tienes...
And then Sister asks the prisoner jokingly if she's got her hair done for a date. I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, says the woman. Sister Nelida's orchestrating some fun.
Telling them to make a wave of joy.
I know.
There are some last-minute blessings as we leave. It's intense social work the sisters are engaged in at the prison. And they're all here because of one woman. Mother Antonia, who died in 2013, was the founder of the Eudist Servants of the 11th Hour.
So we're just going into a corridor.
This was Mother's cell.
Wow, can we just step inside?
Sure.
So this is where Mother Antonia lived here in the prison. It's a very ordinary, plain cell. It's got a small single bed, a desk with drawers, picture of Jesus Christ at the end of the bed. Do you still feel her presence here?
I do. I do.
So she spent how many years living here, sister?
35.
And I guess the only little bit of luxury in this cell is that there are a couple of curtains over the windows. Not like her life in Hollywood.
No, not at all. Not at all. But she loved it. Well, she used to say, you can take the woman out of Hollywood, but you can't take Hollywood out of the woman.
And although she lived in the prison, Mother Antonia's glittering past, from the days when her wardrobe was stuffed full of ball gowns rather than a nun's attire, would sometimes bubble up.
She and Mother Teresa were friends. Mother Teresa was here visiting Tijuana one time, and she was going to receive an award, and Mother was going to receive an award at the same time. And they first called up Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa, you know, so humble, how humble she was, and she just hold her hands and put her head down, and so she goes back and she sits down, and they call Mother. Well, Mother gets up and she starts up the stairs to go to the microphone, and she sees these people, and she starts
blowing kisses.
Kisses. And she just was waving and throwing kisses, and she got her award. She went back, and then she says, oh my goodness, what did I do?
Mother Antonia was born Mary Clark in an Irish Catholic family. Beautiful, vivacious, and sought after, she was brought up in Beverly Hills, where the actor Cary Grant was a neighbour. Mary was married and divorced not once, but twice. She raised seven children. When her father died, she ran his business. But something was missing. As a young woman, she was involved in sending medical supplies overseas. In the 1960s, she travelled to Tijuana with a priest delivering essentials. Her visit to La Mesa prison stayed with her. And at the age of 50, she moved permanently to the city and that small concrete cell that became her home for more than three decades. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Water used as a weapon of war.
In none of these villages, there was any piped clean water for people.
A nation in the grip of criminal gangs.
How bad does it have to get before the international community reacts?
A country showing signs of fracture.
Right now with Sudan, things are really quite dark. The nation is divided. The mistrust runs so deep.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service is back for a new series. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hallo, hier sind Julia und Chris vom Podcast Drinnies. Wir machen nicht nur einen Comedy-Podcast, sondern gehen auch leidenschaftlich gerne nicht zu Stoßzeiten in den Supermarkt. Ehrlich gesagt bleibe ich am liebsten ganz zu Hause und ziehe nur eine Hose an, wenn es klingelt. Wenn es euch auch so geht, dann ist HelloFresh genau das Richtige für euch. Der Kochbox-Lieferservice bringt euch frische, abwechslungsreiche Gerichte direkt vor die Haustür, die ihr im Handumdrehen selbst zubereiten könnt.
Und mit dem Code LECKER24 könnt ihr jetzt richtig sparen. In Deutschland bis zu 120 Euro, in Österreich bis zu 130 Euro und in der Schweiz bis zu 140 Franken. Also Code LECKER24 eingeben und sparen.
PS, der panierte Portobello-Pilz mit Sweet Chili Ketchup ist sehr gut.
Support for this podcast comes from Wise, the account that helps you manage your money all around the world. Dining in dollars, doing business in baht. Wherever life takes you, the Wise account helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast. It's the easy way to connect all your finances internationally without any hidden fees or exchange rate markups. Min fees, max ease, full speed. Join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account could work for you by downloading the app or visiting wise.com/podcast.
I'm Linda Presley with an encore for Jesus, for heart and soul. In the 1970s and 80s, La Mesa prison was a very different place.
Había casino, había casa de cambio, casa, había una casa de cambio,
There was a casino, a money change. I used to play blackjack. There was a dance hall, there were butchers, bakeries and restaurants for the rich and the poor. It was like a little town.
Tony Granillo is a former drug addict. Clean now for 27 years, some of his darkest days were spent in La Mesa, where he was incarcerated for a decade. He was there when Mother Antonia lived on the premises.
Ella era nuestro ángel.
She was our angel. She took care of us because the guards abused the prisoners.
It was a volatile place. Tony has vivid memories of one day in 1984.
Ese día se hizo un motín bien fuerte.
There was a riot. They began to burn the little shops. There were gunshots. Prisoners were armed. These were really difficult times in the prison. A lot of drugs. So shooting, killing, knife fights began. It was hell.
Y ese día del caos, de que había mucha sangre, que había muertos, que había balazos, que había...
Nosotros nos refugiamos. On that day of chaos, there was blood, murder, bullets. We watched it unfold like a movie. The guards had lost control. And that was when Mother Antonia grabbed the microphone in the office. She grabbed it and said over the loudspeakers, "Listen, my sons, I am your mother. Put down your arms. I don't want to see any more blood spilled. I ask you from the bottom of my heart." And all the people, all the killers, they stopped. Everything became calm. So calm. It was like magic.
Now Tony runs a refuge in Tijuana that's supported by the UDIST servants. Memorias began as a shelter for people living with HIV/AIDS. Now it's home to over 140 people. When she's not at the prison, Sister Anne Gertrude, who led the chapel service for women prisoners in La Mesa and is originally from Cameroon, comes here regularly.
Tony takes care of everybody. Homeless women, people with mentally challenged, people who have a cancer. He even have a house for women and children.
So at Memorias, Sister Anne Gertrude puts her professional nursing skills to good use. Sister Anne Gertrude's the youngest member of the order at 55 and was never married. She tells us how, when living in New York, she saw a moving documentary about Mother Antonia's work in Tijuana. It changed her life.
I was crying, I was in tears, and I say, "Lord, are you calling me here? What is this? I already have a lot I'm doing in a lot in New York City. What do you want for me?" I make my vows in 2020.
And what was it about this order that attracted you?
Prison ministry. Because I'm already working with the poor. I see the poor in New York City, in the subway. I saw misery, but I never been around someone who was incarcerated, have no freedom, have no one to visit them, have no one, you know, to look them with love or pray with them. I never see that.
Tell me about the reaction of your family and your friends in New York and Cameroon.
The big thing that surprised everybody, I was leaving United States to Mexico. Some say, "Why are you going there? You have so much to do here. Why you have to go to Tijuana? You don't have to be there to serve." I say, "My life belongs to God. I go wherever He wants me to be."
Because Tijuana is not an easy city, right? There are a lot of homicides here. There's a lot of drug addiction. There's a lot of crime. They say that this city is ruled by organized crime.
Love makes you blind.
Love makes you blind, she says.
In the name of the Father, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Amen.
El pan de ayer es duro.
We join the sisters for lunch at one of their mission houses. Images of Mother Antonia are everywhere. High cheekbones, light eyes, and a broad smile that beams from every picture. Sister Aisa from Monterrey in Mexico is in charge here and oversees the kitchen.
She's our miracle worker. She makes something out of nothing.
Sister Aisa, who's going to be 80, likes to laugh. She joined the Eudist servants after her husband died of lung cancer.
Estaba yo en la casa sola. Mis hijos tienen sus propias vidas.
She tells us she was all alone at home and her children had their own lives. That's when she thought, now was the time to dedicate her life to other people who needed her. There would be some painful fallout from Sister Aisa's decision to become a nun.
Mis niñas, las mujeres, felices. Estuvieron de acuerdo.
Her daughters were fine about it, she says. Her son wasn't. It would be 9 long years before he spoke to his mother again. And does Sister Aisa regret that 9-year silence?
Oh, no. Al contrario.
On the contrary, she says, she thinks the time apart allowed her son to mature, to see that what his mother was doing was a good thing, something beautiful. The next day, the sisters visit one of the men's wings at La Mesa prison.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
It's one of the guards here who's actually all balaclavaed up, stab vest, handcuffs. We're going into Zona 3, Zone 3. The sisters are loaded with toilet paper and other stuff that they're going to give to the prisoners.
Telling them to make sure that they have clothes on, get dressed properly, because the sisters are coming through. I was married for 50 years, so there's nothing that I haven't seen.
It was after Sister Viola's husband died suddenly 16 years ago that she joined the congregation. This block's occupied by older men, all over 60. It's the same setup as the women's block, 6 to a cell, bunk beds 3 high, little light. As we go in, one man, Anja, holds his rosary beads out through the bars and Sister Viola gets to work.
Father, bless this rosary in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Gracias.
Okay. So the men are asking Sister Viola to bless their rosaries and she's got a handy bottle of holy water in her pocket.
that I carry all the time.
Do you? Just in case.
Just in case.
Sister asks if any of them knew Mother Antonia. Angel did.
He met Mother in 2005. She was the first one to give him his first set of dentures. Yeah.
How long have you been here?
Long time. Many years.
More than 20?
Yeah.
Is religion important for you?
Yeah, really important, yeah. Make me strong, maybe keep alive.
Angel doesn't want to talk about why he's serving such a long sentence. His wife visits him on the weekends from across the border in the US. But some prisoners, like Jose, have no one, and the sisters are like surrogate family.
Every time they come, it's our family, because I don't have no visitors. They're my family and visitors.
Somebody's handing Sister a note.
Madre, perdón, que moleste, acabo de...
Somebody's written asking for a sheet, some shoes,
a blanket,
some clothes,
a blanket. Because he just got here and doesn't have what he needs.
The notes keep coming.
He's asking to go to the dentist because the teeth that he has are really hurting him.
Some of the requests are pretty specialized.
He doesn't have an eye. It's a glass eye that he has in there, but it looks like it's receding into back of his head, and it is giving him a lot of problems, and he's having trouble vision with his other eye, too. So we're going to send him to our eye doctor.
So are you able to do something for everybody who asks you?
We try.
The sisters collect donations to support their prison ministry. Sister Viola's responsible for that in the US, and in Tijuana, Sister Anne Marie, who's 82, looks after the business side of things in Mexico.
I always have to figure out which key I need.
It's not another prison block. Sister Anne-Marie's showing us the house in Tijuana where Mother Antonia lived her last days on Earth.
This room was, we kept it just as it was when she left, when she passed away.
The walls are absolutely covered in photos.
All these pictures are mostly her family and close friends.
Yeah, lots and lots of photos of young people, old people, groups of people. Looks like school kids.
Yeah.
Babies.
Sister Anne-Marie worked closely with Mother Antonia, becoming her right-hand woman.
And what's the hardest thing about the commitment that you've made?
I can't think of anything that's hard. I guess not being there when my grandchildren and great-grandchildren grow up. I miss that, but you can't have everything.
And there's no restrictions on you keeping in touch with family and...
No, not at all. Not at all.
In her old life in the U.S., Sister Anne-Marie worked as an administrator.
I was living alone. I was happy with what I was doing, but I kept saying to the Lord, is this it? This is what you want me to do?
And what did the Lord tell you?
He just said, it's in my hands. Don't worry about it.
She chanced upon an article about Mother Antonia and her mission in Tijuana.
I wrote a letter to Mother Antonia, and in the envelope I put Mother Antonia, La Mesa Prison, Tijuana, Mexico. 3 weeks later, she called me.
Sister Anne-Marie was 63 when she joined the Udist Servants of the 11th Hour.
I had people say, oh, you must have always wanted to be a nun. I said, I never wanted to be a nun. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I said, my mother wanted me to be a nun. And I used to think, with all those boys out there, you want me to be a nun?
You know? Oh, right, because you like the boys.
Oh, yeah.
And Sister Anne-Marie married twice. Both marriages ended in divorce and then annulment by the Catholic Church. A third marriage wasn't on the cards.
I figured if I couldn't make good decisions the first two times, I shouldn't make another one. So I never was interested in another relationship.
As somebody who'd been married, who'd experienced love, romance, sex, did you think twice about taking a vow of chastity?
No, I didn't. No. I didn't think twice about doing any of this. It's a lot easier when you let the Holy Spirit run things. It's just a lot easier. You don't have to think about it.
Somebody else is in control.
That's right.
Sister Anne-Marie has faith that everything, including the future of the Udist Servants of the 11th Hour, has some kind of divine plan. But Sister Viola is slightly anxious about the congregation's dwindling numbers.
I say that I'm worried and I'll start to say something, but Sister Anne-Marie pulls me back and says, it's in the hands of our Lord. So I back off.
But you need new blood, right?
We do. We need new blood.
I loved it that you say on the website that you call yourselves an encore for Jesus.
Ah, yeah, he keeps calling us back. One more time.
This encore for Jesus, has that in a way given you more life than you would have had if you'd stayed in the United States?
Yes. I think I still would have looked to do things for other people, but that wasn't what our Lord had for me. Because he's the one that chose me to come and do this. It wasn't my doing.
Is he okay with you going back into the United States when you're 86?
We haven't discussed it.
Sister Viola's tentative retirement date is still 2 years away. Meanwhile, older women do make inquiries about joining the Udist Servants of the 11th Hour. And with the sisters' demanding prison schedule at La Mesa, there's little time to worry about the future.
Dios te salve, María. Llena de gracias, Señor es contigo. Bendita eres entre todas.
Sister Anne Gertrude, once again, leads prayers for some of the men behind bars.
They're my brother. They're always happy to see us. And we're happy to see them.
We feel blessed when they came. But they'll bring us hope and bring us peace.
That's all from Heart and Soul. I'm Linda Presley. The other producers were Tim Mansell and Ulysses Escamilla.
Support for this podcast comes from Wise, the account that helps you manage your money all around the world. Dining in dollars, doing business in baht. Wherever life takes you, the Wise account helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast. It's the easy way to connect all your finances internationally without any hidden fees or exchange rate markups. Min fees, max ease, full speed. Join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account could work for you by downloading the app or visiting wise.com/podcast.